Hello and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. We're doing another Ghostober movie review. Not going to be an hour long, but still, Cake Wolf Happy Hour. I'm here with Mrs. Cake Bitch.
Mrs. Cake Bitch, did we get married?
Miss Cake Bitch. Senora Cake Bitch Show. We are going to be doing The Grudge from 2004. Hour 31 minutes, worth your time, in my opinion. And yeah, this one's directed by Takashi Shimizu, who was at the helm of the sequel to this American remake of the Japanese classic, The Grudge, Ju-on.
He also did Ju-on
as well, the original. The writers here, we got Steven Susko and Takashi Shimizu. It stars Sarah Michelle Gellar, Jason Baer, Clea DuVall, and some other goodies. What did you think of this movie, Miss Cake Bitch?
I enjoyed it. I don't think I watched it when it first came out.
Okay.
I watched The Ring, but then I skipped The Grudge because The Ring freaked me out quite a lot.
Yeah.
But it felt kind of nostalgic anyway,
mm-hmm.
like the effects and the actors and everything.
Do you think there's enough of a difference between the ghostly characters in The Ring and The Grudge?
I think the concept is very different. Mm-hmm. Like, The Ring spreads by watching a video.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's more of a true haunting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus a ghost virus.
I think a big difference, too, is, and I should say that we're not going to go through any kind of, like, synopsis for The Grudge or anything like that. We're just going to bullshit about the movie.
Okay.
What I think a big difference between the two is that Samara from The Ring, she is just kind of born evil, right?
Yeah, you were telling me.
And she just
this.
Wants to hurt people because.
And I must have missed that when I watched The Ring, because honestly, the only things I remember about The Ring is that I got a nosebleed and then was convinced I was going to die in 7 days.
Yeah.
That's like legit the only thing
that
I really
remember.
That sounds
awful.
Oh, and The Fly. Remember The Fly coming out of the TV on the screen? Yeah.
Yeah. well, Kyoko from The Grudge, she has a different past that we find out more about in the sequel, but so far as we know right now, she does not want to make everybody die because, I don't know, but
she's just evil.
Right. She doesn't have that sort of Michael Myers-ness to her like Samara does. She was kind of made that way. Now, we don't really know that too much from the first movie, because the first movie is giving a lot of vagueness.
Well, the first movie, you're just kind of left to assume that she does this because she died under such awful circumstances that her spirit is unsettled and just, like, wants revenge on anyone.
Okay, yeah.
That's what you get from the first movie. That's kind of the... Woo! We just tossed a cat.
Yeah, she was clawing me. Yeah, I mean, what's cool about that is the idea of going into this house and taking a piece of it with you. That's sort of the whole shtick of The Grudge. The house is haunted, and if you enter the house, then you kind of have this residue, almost like how they described it in the Conjuring movies. Sometimes it's sort of like stepping on a piece of gum, you kind of take it with you wherever you go.
Or dog shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or dog shit. This is sort of like that, in where you go into the house where this trauma happened to this family, and you kind of take some of the ghostly aspects of it with you. And...
Yeah, it follows you around until you die.
Right.
Yeah.
And in this movie, we have Sarah Michelle Gellar, who you'll know from Buffy fame.
Obviously.
Facing off against the Grudge ghosts. And I think it's very interesting to have Buffy as the lead here, because she had just come out of doing the Buffy the Vampire Slayer show.
Right, this was released a year after the show ended.
And that's kind of like saying, hey, this horror movie is legit. Look, Buffy is up against it. And
Will she slay this time?
She's not punching them in the face. She's legit scared.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a great time to put this out, because Buffy was always known for her action antics and just punching anything that looked terrifying in the face. But this time we got Buffy scared, and that is something that in that very timely
still
approach.
Still a fighter, though, but mm-hmm. in a more realistic way.
Right. But, I mean, showing that she's scared, I think, helped with the viewers associate to the horrors in right. the garage. I thought that was a very smart move
so
to have her
just
there.
So you think subconsciously people are like, oh, if Buffy's scared, then we should be scared, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. I like the way that whole thing works out where the ghosts follow people that go into the house. Basically, what we have here is a wife named Kyoko. She had a son named Toshiro and a husband named Douchebag. And
correct.
Yes. And Kyoko was in love with her professor, who is an American. And his name was Peter, and she was obsessively writing his name in a journal and thinking about him all the time. And
she had a massive crush.
Yeah. And he never knew about her. So there wasn't any kind of like adultery going on or
right.
anything
he
like that.
He knew her as a student, and that
right.
was it.
So the husband finds out about this through the journal. He freaks out, and he starts thrashing around. He ends up hurting his wife by breaking her ankle. And while she's crawling away, he gets behind her and he breaks her neck.
Yep.
And he does this sort of like on the stairs because she's sort of crawling down the stairs to get away from him. She can't walk because her ankle's broken. And then she dies screaming. And her voice is broken at this point. So the only kind of sound that you hear coming out of her is, right?
Yep.
And she's locked. She can't move. And she's slowly dying. And her eyes are locked on her son, Toshiro, who's up on the banister looking down at his mother, who just had her neck snapped. The husband at that point goes and takes the kid. He drowns the kid, and the cat is in the bathroom while the kid's getting drowned, and he ends up, I think he tries to drown the cat as well,
and
that doesn't work,
does?
So he, like, throws it against the wall.
Oh, maybe that's what
and
happened,
that,
yeah.
I think it breaks its skull or something. But, yeah, and then he kills himself.
Yeah.
After that. And, well, I guess first, before he kills himself, he wraps his wife
In plastic.
Yeah,
yeah,
in plastic and puts her in the attic.
Yep.
Yeah. And then he kills himself. Awful, awful, awful. And so her teacher, Kyoko's teacher, Peter, he is basically finding out why his student hasn't been around. And he goes to visit the house. That's how he kind of gets this curse put, like, stuck to him.
Yep.
And Buffy, she's going to the house because she's an American that's staying in Japan, and she's learning the culture, and one of her jobs is sort of like taking care of people.
Yeah, she's like a,
right.
a homemade or
right.
something like that, yeah.
And she's replacing a young girl who hasn't shown up for work for a couple days. So that's how she's going to the house. She's going to the house to take care of an old woman that is left there alone because her family basically all died, and they all died because they were in the house and the curse and et cetera.
Yeah.
And I love how the theme of the movie goes, switching between the roles of Peter, because he's kind of got his own story. The first girl that is going to take care of this old woman that's in the house, Buffy, and also this family that was there with the old woman that's there now.
The American family.
They kind of switch back to that family as well at a time. And it feels really smooth in the storytelling sense of showing all of these different walks of life going to this house, and they're all being taken off one by one by one.
I think also that must have been a storytelling approach at the time, because it's kind of like Love Actually follows different storylines.
Okay.
So maybe there was something going on back in the early 2000s where they were like, let's just follow all these people and make it all one story.
Well, I liked
it. It works well.
I liked it very. I liked it a lot because that meant that we were going to be getting a lot of kills, and there really is nobody that escapes this fucking curse.
Well, and you learn a little more about the curse every time.
Yes, you do, which is fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really like the kills because they're not excessively gory, and that makes it more scary for me because we don't see where the woman Kyoko, the ghost, is taking them, but she just sort of like
she just takes them.
Yeah, she kills some of them by fear alone, by just going up to them, and I guess she kind of exudes this horror, this rage, and it terrifies people and just makes them die of fright, kind of like Samara does. And Kyoko also will grab people and just kind of like pull them places. And we don't know where they go.
Mm-hmm.
Toshiro.
Right, because some of them just go missing. Mm-hmm. And nobody knows what happened to them.
Toshiro, he is another one of the haunts in this house. The whole family is, really. It's Toshiro, Kyoko, and a douchebag husband. And Toshiro is the only one of the three that doesn't...
Isn't it just Toshio?
I think, maybe. It's whatever.
Okay.
It's Toshiro, I thought. But, yeah, you're right. It's Toshio. But he never hurts anybody. He almost acts as like a harbinger of doom, almost warning people. Mm-hmm. And he can't really talk.
Yeah.
Very, very much. When he does talk, he'll say like his name or something very vague. But usually...
Oh, that's right. He does say his name. Yeah.
Usually what we're getting from him is just a cat meow. He'll open his mouth and you'll just hear this meow sound. Did you find that scary?
I mean, if it were a little boy that was making that noise, it would be scary if it was happening in real life.
I was talking to some people at work about this, and they found it very funny.
It's funny because you know it's not real. But if you would think about it, though, if you'd find this little boy next to you in bed,
mm-hmm.
and that's the noise he makes instead of words,
yeah,
and he's ghostly white... I mean, that would be pretty frightening in reality, but because it's a movie and because the effects are still pretty hokey,
mm-hmm.
like they have not perfected CGI yet, and I think a lot of that is CGI.
There's a lot of CGI. There's a scene where Kyoko is like coming down from the ceiling of the house when Buffy is there, and she's doing this while Buffy's taking care of the old woman,
mm-hmm.
and her body just kind of like contorts and kind of waves in the sky, being moved by her own hair, and that was definitely CGI. Did not mind it. I didn't think it was terrible CGI.
So do you think the little boy was not CGI?
No, I don't think the little boy was CGI.
So why did he look less awkward? Well, we watched two and three, which we'll talk about later.
We'll mention those later,
yeah.
But I think he looked very good because the makeup effects on him
were just better.
Okay. Right. Plus, we had the original creator of The Grudge on this remake, so he was able to really capture a good look, you know, and make sure that was translated well.
Yeah, okay. I kind of assumed that he was part real actor, part CGI.
Did you like the look of the ghosts? Because people at my work, when I talked to them about it, they also said how it's not scary to be confronted by sun-deprived Japanese children.
Well, I mean, it goes beyond sun deprivation. Like, I mean, this kid is white, borderline blue.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a cadaver.
I like the blue hue to it.
Yeah, I mean...
I think that really helps.
Like I said, the effects, like... It felt hokey
mm-hmm.
compared to what we see now, but I kind of appreciate the fact that it was a little bit hokey.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it didn't give me nightmares,
mm-hmm.
which was nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary. It's a scary story to think about, but, like, it wasn't terrifying. If it were actually happening to you, it would be terrifying, but it's not. It's on a screen, and you know it's not real. And the effects / makeup are just kind of, like, a little too unrealistic.
Yeah.
But, it didn't take me out of the story. I still appreciated it.
Okay. What did you think about the lore behind the movie? That if and they say this at the beginning of every single one of these movies.
Just to remind you.
Yeah. And basically telling you about how if someone dies in the grip of rage, it can consume them and, you know, sort of like stick around the place and act as a haunt. And
What do you
think of that? Like, if somebody dies in the manner that this woman, Kyoko, died and her son, Toshio, do you think that constitutes for this kind of thing to happen? Not taking into context any of the other sequels.
I thought it was kind of weird. Like, on one hand, I get it, because to die in that way is completely awful, and it probably would give you quite a bit of rage. But on the other hand, like, there doesn't seem to be a reason for it. Like, it would make more sense to me if it were like she was seeking revenge on men who were awful people, mm-hmm. because her husband was an awful person, yeah. and he killed her and her child and their family pet.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot in the world we live in today, a lot of murders that are awful.
All murders
things
are
like,
awful.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, why would this be such a major haunt, you know?
Yeah.
And not, why wouldn't there be ghosts doing this sort of thing happening at this house, like, everywhere?
When you think, is it, like, because her husband died, too? Is it his rage that's living on? I mean, that could be, I guess, a take on it. Is it his rage?
Keeping them all there,
that's
maybe.
Keeping them all there and making them all murderous.
Maybe, yeah.
Because he's the only one in this whole thing that was, like, rageful mm-hmm. for no good reason.
We do get more as to why they could be here, and we don't have, like, a bunch of these types of ghosts hanging out all over the place wherever
right.
there's murders. There's a little bit more behind it that they touch upon in the sequel. But I did want to pull up the opening text because I didn't say it very well. and this is before every movie. I like it. It's a very good short thing to get you into the mood for the film. And it says, when someone dies in the grip of a powerful rage, a curse is born. The curse gathers in that place of death. Those who encounter it will be consumed by its fury. I like that. I feel like that
yeah,
really
I,
captures
I liked,
it.
Yeah, I did like the opening text for it. I thought it was kind of weird that they put it at the beginning of every single movie. But
well, what would you... would you recommend this movie to someone?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun movie to watch. This is another one that you can watch with your friends that maybe aren't super into horror.
Yeah.
Like at a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's dated enough that it doesn't feel so scary anymore.
Sure.
I wish I had seen it when it first came out because I don't know if it would have made me more scared.
I like how Kyoko always crawls around because even as a spirit, she's got that kind of like broken ankle.
Yeah, she's very broken.
And she has to crawl everywhere. And I love the way she does crawl.
Yeah,
I think
elbows
she's very
are like up in the air. It looks
yeah.
very disjointed, even mm-hmm. though it is something that a human person could do.
Yeah.
It doesn't look human like.
It helps make her very creepy. Her voice, also with the sound that she makes, I think all of it is so creative and creepy. Because it all ties into how she died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfect. I think the way that they captured that is absolutely perfect. I love the movie. I think it's superb ghost tale. And I think that everybody should watch it. Horror fans and non-horror fans. Great popcorn movie. You got Buffy in there.
Yeah, she's nice to look at, too.
She is. She does a great job.
And she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think about it in the moment, but
yeah.
like if you go to the IMDb page, there's
sure.
a still, and she looks legit horrified.
No, she is a great actress. She doesn't get to shine as much as I would like to see her shine in Hollywood. She was great in Cruel Intentions.
Mm-hmm. She was diabolical.
Yeah, she had some roles where she really kicked off her talent, and I feel like The Grudge was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffy stuff, it's fun, but, you know, I mean, it's action and teen drama.
It's teen horror drama. Yeah.
What would you rate this out of one to 10?
I'd give it 7.5.
7.5.
Yeah. I feel like thought the effects were hokey, but I didn't hate it because they were hokey.
Okay.
It wasn't like a bad story or anything. But I mean, I feel like it could have been done better, but maybe not. Maybe that was the best.
Well, you haven't seen the original. We're going to be watching that and compare.
And that one came out before 2004 then.
Yes. They were two years apart.
Okay.
2002 was the original,
so
Ju-on the Grudge.
Did it better.
2004 was the American. And I feel like they did a smart move with getting the creator on board.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'm sure that he translated it much better than if it had just been Americans. I think
we get to see what an American
is going to do with the grudge when
he's left to his own. Oh my god. But yeah, we're gonna go ahead and I guess watch Ju-on the Grudge and then compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll watch Ju-on 2 and compare those two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that sounds fun. I would give this one probably I really like it. I'd probably give it a 9, honestly.
Yes. I mean, it's fair. I wouldn't argue with it.
Yeah.
My only complaint was that the effects were hokey, but also I didn't hate it, so. Yeah.
And I love seeing Sarah Michelle Gellar in things.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish she was in more now.
Yeah, she did do a badass job in this very, very fun movie. I think it's fun and creepy at the same time, and that's not easy to do without making something comedy, which this is not. This is
not
comedy, but it still manages to be a fun horror movie.
Yeah. I think because at the end of it, you're not like afraid to go to bed.
And not fun as in like fun for horror fans. I think fun for anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good party movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, yeah, definitely check this one out if you have not. 2004's The Grudge, and we will catch you next time.
Yep.
With Ju-on.
Oh, we're going to go back and forth between. Okay.
We are.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Love you guys. Catch you next time.
See ya.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out!
Excuse me now!
What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?